Good morning. Welcome to Alternative Currents. This is Bella Johnson. This morning we are privileged to have some local women in the studio from an organization called Greenfire. Greenfire is located in Tennant's Harbor, Maine, down below Rockland, and is a retreat facility of sorts. And I'm going to let the women speak for themselves as regards to what goes on there. But I thought I would present this to you this month because it was presented to me and it may be of great interest, not only who they are and what they do, but what they base this system that they offer upon. The women are Judith Carpenter, Connie Chandler Ward, and Allison Cheek. And I'd like to welcome them to Alternative Currents this morning.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you, ladies. If we can just kind of go around the circle and introduce yourselves and kind of what you hold as a vision or as a thought for your organization and what you offer individually and collectively, however that comes across for you.
Okay, I'll start.
And you're
I'm Judith. And we came from the Boston area about 12 years ago, with a desire to make space in our lives for deeper work, inner work, and offer space for other women to come and go from there and do similar work in their own lives. And so this is a little retreat center for women. It's a farmhouse, 200-year-old farmhouse on 59 acres of woods and lovely setting, and very simple. We can have like 8 to 10 people. But for me, I think that desire to make space in our lives for women to come and go and to come for a day, a weekend, you know, whatever, or come for a special program or a workshop is kind of the core of what we do.
Nice. And Connie.
I'm Connie. We were all working in the Boston area and met together there and began to explore the ways in which the women we knew who were professional women, as well as ourselves, discovered we had a kind of split in our lives between the private, spiritual, inner self and the public, professional self, and that most of the women we knew have felt that split. And we had a sense that if we really looked at it, we could bring those sides together and into one whole. And we did that work with each other and imagined the kind of setting and the kind of work where this could be our work and where we could also offer it to other women. So out of that came this the work that we do, which is always in a circle, so that women don't feel that they're coming in for, like to a doctor who will give them the answers, but that they can explore the way women have from ancient times explored in conversation with each other by being open and vulnerable with each other, that wisdom will be spun together. And that's what all our work is based on with people who come.
And we say this is what women have always done. It's a circle of friends and it's your turn.
Right.
And so even if someone's a little daunted at first, it's so familiar because we've always done this.
Right. And you're women who've lived a little. You're all over 40. Yes, which I think is useful. Yeah. I think that's certainly useful to have role models in my generation. Mm-hmm. Certainly. I'm 50. You women are.
You really want to know?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's important because it says we've had some life experience behind us, and we're in a position to share on another level.
Absolutely.
Than we would have been able to share at 30 or.
Well, I'm 61.
And I'm 68.
And I'm about to turn 77.
Fabulous. They're all in fabulous shape, I'll say that.
But we do have younger women around in the resource circle.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But it's like almost like a convention of crones in a way. You know, we're moving into that wisdom stage of our lives where it's valuable. Yeah. The culture doesn't really seem to support that very much.
And many younger women feed that back to us. They say that it really means a lot to them to sit with women who've had more experience and to learn from crones.
Absolutely, because often, certainly in my generation, I didn't get it from my parents, still don't, and couldn't get it from my mother, hard as she may try to bounce back with, you know, her particular orientation. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where it's limited. So it's I find it very, very
sometimes
useful.
Mothers and daughters come.
Nice.
And find that very rewarding.
Nice.
Yeah. We're in a culture that really rewards people for overwork. And we ourselves got tired of that and wanted time for pulling back and reflection, which I think women over 40 tend to long for. And that life changes when you can pull back and think about it.
Mm. Well, even in Jungian psychology, there's known to be a time that happens, a shifting that happens around 40 that shifts you from the outer orientation to the inner, but we don't have a lot of validation for that. I mean, we're still out there pushing because that's what the job demands. That's what,
that's what
kids going
rewarded.
Into college demands, and definitely what gets rewarded.
Right.
So, but yes.
We've also had a lovely program where one of our former board members has brought up early teenage girls with whom she works in Boston. And the last time they were up, they joined together with some Maine girls in the same age range. And the Boston girls were African-American and Asian or Hispanic. And the Maine girls were all white. And so that country and city met, and there was a meeting across ethnic and racial diversity, and that was a very successful weekend.
Nice. Yes, we often get so isolated up here that we don't get a lot of that cross-cultural experience. So, Allison, I'd just like you to introduce yourself, and then we'll go on with this conversation, which feels good, so, but I didn't want to forget your introduction, so...
Well, I've been associated with Green Fire from the beginning stages, the dreaming stages, but was working in Cambridge, Massachusetts when the farmhouse was opened, but have retired up here. And one of the programs we do is the Enneagram program, and I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, and so a place like Green Fire is an absolute gift and a boon to me because I need to make space and time for silence and to go inward.
As well as having a lot of interesting things happen outward.
Right.
So, yeah, so mentioning the Enneagram, for those who don't, no, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to, I didn't want to leave out the whole age range of young mothers and young career women, because an awful lot of people in that range find Greenfire such a restful place and a renewing place. So it just, with people whose lives don't allow space or reflection and they're exhausted, and, you know, we have a lot of women in the 20s and 30s and 40s come, as well as people who are really shifting in their focus.
We've also had a few, several mothers and daughters who come in order to build a ritual for turning into womanhood, which has really been fun.
Nice, right, a passage.
Yeah. Passage.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, the reason I wanted to identify your ages and your place in life from that perspective was just to give a ground for that. Again, I hope you understand that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For women of all ages, I think that's very. I just think it's very necessary, and something that's lacking often.
Yeah.
One of the core things that goes on at Green Fire is the conversation, And we have three different kinds of conversation that go on. The one that is the most goes the most deeply, we call a work vision, and we have three sessions, and three of us present at the session, and women who are in transition or women who are wanting to get their work experience and their deeper personal selves into sync, like to do those. We have conversations that might consist of two sessions, and where two of us will meet with the person who comes, or we have a conversation that can be on any kind of topic that the guest wishes to talk about. And I think that it's very hard to describe, but I think very powerful things happen in those sessions, and possibly because it is a powerful thing for a woman to be listened to with rapt attention by three other women or two other women. And that is, I think, quite a core piece of the work.
Now, in our talking here before the show, I noticed you always talk about having conversations with more than one woman, speaking with the person in question that's coming for the help. Why is this?
It's because we believe that when women sit together openly, honestly, vulnerably, respectfully, listening intently, that wisdom is spun. And so at Greenfire, we have no gurus. We have no hierarchy. We have no experts, even though we have expertise from other backgrounds in our professional lives. Still, when we meet in the circle, we believe that it's women interacting together which spins the wisdom.
And we each speak out of our own stories, and because of that, the person who is coming with an issue of her own remains her own authority and can hear different perspectives but not be pressured to take any one of them as her own.
Yeah, no fixes happening.
No fixes.
Yeah.
Right.
Empowering that person to make choices for themselves.
No fixes, but lovely transformations.
Yes, nice. Nice. Connie, I wanted to kind of get back to the Enneagram a little bit for people who don't know about it, because it is such, I found it to be a valuable tool, as others that I know, in simply identifying where we get stuck in our life patterns. So any of you actually could speak to that, but.
Yes, the Enneagram is we discovered ourselves long before we began Greenfire as an organization, as a self as a self-transformation tool. There are very few ways places where you can absorb yourself in insights without a teacher or a guru and see the way to continue to open into more and more honesty and deeper and deeper space until you get closer to the core of who you are. And the Enneagram is such a tool, and it comes from very ancient sources. Mm-hmm. We have found that has been a really useful way of evolving as people who long to grow.
And for those of you who've just tuned in, we're speaking with Judith Carpenter, Connie Chandler Ward, and Allison Cheek of Greenfire. If you'd like to learn more about this organization, you may call them at 372-6442 in the state of Maine, or check into their website, www.greenfireretreat.org, or email them at greenfir, G-R-E-E-N-F-I-R, at midcoast.com, located in Tenants Harbor, a retreat facility for women to empower women And we're speaking about a system of understanding ourselves called the Enneagram. If you'd like more information on that, the spelling of it is Enneagram. So when you hear us pronouncing that, that will give you a physical spelling for that. Anyway, to continue, yes.
Perhaps it would help to just say a little bit about the Enneagram as a system. The word means graph of nine, and it basically looks at nine different energies in a circle so that there's a relationship amongst them because it's a circular form, but nine different ways of coping or dealing with life that everyone develops, and we get fixated in one of them, and it's usually like the way we, in a very deep, deep way, understand ourselves and make life work for us, and in a way that one can't see without a tool. So by having a tool that allows you to say, "Oh my gosh, that's what I do. That's what I value. That's where I hide, or that's my compulsion. That's what drives me," and get a sense of how that's all hooked together, how the very things that you feel prideful about or whatever are the things that cause your biggest problems, and to have a way to begin to unlock that and open up and get access to your deepest self.
It's a very odd system in that in order to find out what your compulsion is, you have to go through all a negative recognition of yourself, which is not sort of something you long to do necessarily. But once you do find the way that your compulsion works, it begins to open up your life.
And as Connie said earlier, it's a very ancient tool, roots in way back in numerology and in early Christian mystics and the Sufis, and it's been traced, the themes have been traced way, way back, the seven deadly sins and all of that is all connected with this system. But it was really rediscovered and moved out of the oral tradition into accessibility in this country really just since the 70s or so. So it's a complicated history, but here's this ancient wisdom that's available now for us to look at. And we offer workshops on it. We have, in our workshops, we have women representing each, who are from each of the nine positions, come and share themselves, reveal themselves and their patterns, what they've learned and why, so that a participant who comes to the workshop can recognize herself.
And one of the ways we do that is to have the same set of questions for each of the nine women to answer, so that you can see the same questions come at where each one comes at it from a really different space, a different kind of energy.
Different energy. It's about energy.
So it's not about what you do or even what you say, but about the energy that's behind it that we're looking for. Yeah.
And what we found in our community, that it's been an incredibly useful tool for us to not only to understand ourselves, but to understand others. So that, you know, where earlier on I might have said, "How could you ever respond like that?" Now I might say, "Ho, ho, here comes the eight." But it does make one very much more tolerant and understanding of people you're working with, and it helps in the family, and it helps with friends to meet on a level that isn't just very reactive.
So it's not surprising that one of the main routes that came to this country was through the monastics in the Catholic Church, because it was a way of being able to let go of difference in communities
and live with it. I was thinking as you're saying that, Allison, about how much it frees us, I think, in sitting in circle conversation with a woman what I would do, what would work for me, or what would be healthy for me, might not be what that person needs to do at all. So it's very liberating, I think, in sitting in a circle to to know that there's such different ways of being and such different motivations underlying things. I mean, to really know it, to have lived and worked with this system for a long time, I think it allows so much more respect of each person's path.
And not simply to project one's own experience.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's great how they go back. In Rizzo and Hudson, for example, there's a few books on the Enneagram, or a few Enneagram experts, if you will. Two that I've read a bit about are actually the authors are called Rizzo and Hudson, and the other is Helen Palmer. But the Rizzo and Hudson that I've read, the approach of going back and saying these were the childhood patterns, although mm-hmm. all Enneagram work may do this, and then these are the current kind of behaviors are acting out if you get fixated in the old
right. It's kind of
paradigm.
It's kind of you find out at a very young age something that works for you. It makes the world function well for you.
And uses your gifts.
And uses what naturally comes up. Yeah. But you get so that you get extremely dependent on that, and it becomes like a rut, and then it becomes a compulsion, and you don't really tend to notice that that's happened. So this sort of brings it up and makes you notice.
Yeah, it's a little different, I find, than a strict astrological approach, which my most familiar background would be in astrology. Mm-hmm. Though it's very helpful, it's not helpful just to kind of know what someone's sun sign is. You really need to look at their chart, where all the houses are and how everything's mm-hmm. placed and the conjunctions and so on. But with the Enneagram, it's a much tighter system, I find.
Once you find your space, there's so many resources for opening up. You mentioned Rizzo and Hudson and also Helen Palmer, but there are many, many
yes.
writers out there nowadays. Yeah. There are a lot of literature pouring out on this subject. And different writers who come from different spaces on the Enneagram bring a different kind of wisdom and a different kind of take. So the hard thing is finding your number in the first place, which is what our workshop focuses on, helping people to do that. And it's very important to find that accurately.
Because, as one of you inferred, you're not necessarily going to like what
right.
you find initially.
And we found that in our community that we're all convinced that the authors hate our number, particularly. I know they all hate nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they make seven sound very superficial.
And, of course, I'm very autocratic, and as a one, you know, I'm a total control freak. Well, I know that exists within me, but I've worked through a lot of it. And so to be able to look and say, well, yes, I recognize my number. I'm not proud of my number. But, boy, look where I've come from
right.
that original
right.
stuck place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there is a process of evolution that you can see. Can you describe just a little bit, if it's not too difficult, about how, let's say, a one goes
how's
to,
the one?
Yes,
well,
how those little triangles.
You know, what's really
triangles.
Nice is a base fact is that the Enneagram is not just going to help you to find your type,
right.
but help you to have a path for real transformation.
Right. Maybe a way to get at that is to say that of these nine types, there are three centers.
Subtypes. Oh, okay. Centers.
Three centers of energy. There's head energy, gut energy, and heart energy. And there's a core of each of those. And then there's one on either side with of the three head energies, which are 5, 6, 7, I'm a 5, Allison's here as a 7. And then there's a core type. And the core type basically represses the head energy. So there's lots of anxiety and lots of worry. And the 7 sort of underdoes it and is out distracting herself and having a wonderful
la la
life. And the 5 overdoes it, way in the head, way far away. That's me. It's very hard to do this without charts and graphs and being able to really make clear what we're talking about to you who are listening on the radio. So the head energy center is about what's going on here, trying to figure it out, a way to be safe. It's rooted in fear because head's where fear runs around. And so they're all the head types in some way are grappling. All human beings grapple with fear, but the head types are preoccupied, stuck in there with their heads running around those issues. The heart types are focused up more on issues of image, connection with people. How am I doing? What do you think of me?
These numbers are?
2, 3, 4.
Okay.
2, 3, 4. The 3 being the core one that's repressing that. It's the achiever out there, just going to make everything work. And
in order to get validation back
right.
for who they are. Okay.
Right. And the 2 is the helper. She's going to make everything, meet your needs, anticipate all of your needs and meet your needs, and therefore be loved. And the 4, who is overdoing the heart energy and the emotions, is just the drama queen. What's missing? The pain of life, the artist, these are stereotypes.
They are in their way. Because my daughter's a 4, and I realize she's more evolved, but she's definitely a 4.
We're being very general here.
Yeah, we're having fun.
Connie, say something about the gut types, because that's you.
And me.
And you.
That's
right.
8, 9, 1. 9 is in the center, and it represses knowing herself.
Represses the gut energy.
Represses the gut energy. It's a gut energy center. And the 8 overdoes it by being out there and you telling you the way it is and not allowing for any ambiguity whatsoever. And the 1 underdoes it.
Underdoes her anger.
The anger by suppressing it. So it's an anger trio. We are the anger fun people, and the 8 has it all out there. The 1 has it repressed, and the 9 in the middle sort of goes up and down and around, back and forth.
And then there are the gifts of each number.
Yes, right. Yes, important. Yeah.
Great gifts, because if you've spent a lifetime focusing on this particular area, you have skills in that area. Skills in perception, or kind of tuned into people in a certain way because of the energy that's developed.
The 9 because sees every perspective, so that they can be people to negotiate differences between people, and the 1. Has an enormous sense of what is right or just or correct, and longs to do what is right, so that they're very perceptive about justice issues and that sort of thing. And the 8 is very active and out there and sees something needs to happen and does it without question. Doesn't
often
have
very
inner questions.
Charismatic leaders.
Very often, yeah.
And the 7 is usually a very optimistic person. And cheerful, and there's never a glass half empty. It's always half full, and she's looking for ways to fill it. But I think that the 7 does have a capacity for joy and can bring good energy at times to meetings.
And the 6, who's the loyalist, the warrior in the core of the head types, always ambivalent, always looking at every side, builds community wonderfully. They're watching out for the underdog. They're often bring a lot of humor and delight and warmth because they're just trying to make everything safe. And the 5, this overhead focus can bring a lot of wisdom and understanding, kind of putting a lot of pieces together.
And Judith is the one who reads all the books and knows all about it.
It's an observer stance, so there's a kind of objectivity and a kind of,
and can see the overall picture and gathers up what's gone on.
That's kind of the thing.
Nice balance, though. If it's appropriate for you all to take a break, we can do that now, do some station identification, and come back in a couple of minutes. You all are listening to Alternative Currents on your community radio station, WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill and 102.9 Bangor. We're speaking with Judith Carpenter, Connie Chandler Ward, and Allison Cheek of Green Fire. This is Bella Johnson. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Welcome back to Alternative Currents. Again, you are listening to us with the great backing and courtesy of WERU-FM, a station with which you would not otherwise hear valuable information in a local kind of way, and quite this way. Support us, would you please? The station is running campaigns now and then, fund drives, but always to call 469-6600 and request information on the station sponsoring it as a business member or personal member will always keep this kind of program on the air. Again, speaking to Judith Carpenter, Connie Chandler Ward, Allison Cheek, and Bella Johnson, we're speaking to these women who run the Green Fire organization down in Tenants Harbor, Maine. And we were speaking a bit about the Enneagram, an ancient system of understanding ourselves, a circular system, and these women are group, community-oriented, small group-oriented folk. So we'll kind of get back to the Enneagram for a minute. Judith, you were mentioning something that we
Right, we had been talking about the gifts of the various centers and the various types. We've spoken about the gut center, the gifts of those three types, and the gifts of the head types. And the heart types, the gift of the two is compassion. The two has spent a lifetime focusing in on the needs of people, so there's great heart compassion when she can acknowledge her own needs and let herself also let it be more reciprocal instead of always having to be the giver. And the three, the achiever, when the gifts of that type are, well, they're just amazing leaders, often executives, administrators, whatever, because they want to be effective. And they are effective because they've spent a lifetime honing in on that. So they offer a great deal. And the four brings great depth, depth of feeling
and perception.
And perception, right, to a situation. So we haven't mentioned that we have a workshop coming up.
No, I don't think you mentioned dates and so on. So okay. It would be nice to know what, not only with the Enneagram, but some of the other activities that you provide. Mm.
Well, a couple of times a year at least, we do an introductory workshop on the Enneagram. And we were saying a little bit before that we have women representing all of the nine types on a panel, sharing from their own energy and their own story, so it can help you find yourself and then use this tool. And we have one coming up beginning Thursday evening, April 29th, and running through Sunday noon, May 2nd. And
one of the things about our Enneagram workshop is that we now have continuing education units that people can
see. I noticed that on the brochure,
Yeah. You get 1.3 CEUs or 13 contact hours are available for this course. So should we say again how people would sign up? You can call Greenfire for more information or to register or whatever at 372-6442. You can email us at greenfir, G-R-E-E-N-F-I-R, at midcoast.com, or you can check out our website at www.greenfireretreat.org. And the website, if you call or email, we can send you all kinds of things about upcoming programs, but also on the website, you can see copies of our newsletter and get a feel for the place with pictures. And like that.
What do you recommend for men who are interested in studying some things that you offer only for women?
Well, occasionally we have groups come that include a man. We had a Buddhist group recently who wanted space for meditation, and there was a man that was a part of that group. And that's okay. Well, we're all women running it, so that's partly why it's a women's space, but also it's a small and intimate space. So unless it's a group that really knows one another.
But I mean, for example, with the Enneagram, do you know of any other organization? We have a lot of male listeners, so obviously.
Right. Boy, I don't.
Any idea? No.
There are a number of Catholic institutions that run workshops. The ones we happen to be in touch with happen to be nuns, however, we're not really in touch with organizations that are serving men, but it's not hard to find.
Okay, I'm sure on the web because it's being done all over the place.
Well, I know this is a question that may get asked, and call the station after the program saying, "Well, what about us?" And it is a valuable system for both genders,
absolutely.
It'd be nice to find something there. Okay, and then your other programs.
Well, we usually have a workshop at least once a month, and they range entirely in topics. We've just finished one where we did reflections on death and dying this last weekend, and there are others coming up, including an exploration of Islam through stories of people who are from that tradition and in different countries. Mostly stories about childhoods in Islamic countries. And the idea is that we'll spend a weekend really submerging in the words and culture that is not our own so that we can appreciate it from sort of inside rather than teaching about it. We've already done one of those workshops, and it's really been a wonderful experience. There are other ones that we do. We're having in the summertime a gathering of women who want to paint together, not necessarily learn to paint, but just to be in the company of other painters, photographers who come together to be in the company of other photographers and to help each other out in exploring that. We're doing a play reading that weekend that includes some picking a really interesting play. So there are a great variety of things that are coming up.
And Writers' Weekend.
And Writers' Weekend.
And you have an Earth Day Vigil. Earth Day Eve Vigil, April 21st.
Right.
If I may, I'd like to just read your definition, your brochure's definition of what Green Fire is. Green Fire is a retreat center for women located on the St. George Peninsula in a 200-year-old farmhouse set in the midst of meadows and woods. It offers space to all women who want to rest and explore their spirituality, regardless of their tradition, age, or race. In the simplicity of Green Fire, women are free to shape their own days as each wishes, in rest, reading, meditation, contemplation, perhaps broken by a bike ride or walk along a nearby beach. Green Fire offers hospitality, healthy and delicious food, and calm in the midst of a fast-paced culture. The St. George Peninsula has access to fishing villages, lighthouses, beaches, forests, and wildlife. Kayaks, trails, bikes, paints, and clay are available for guests' use. In the evening, all come together for a candlelit dinner of delicious food and companionship. So that kind of gives you an idea of, we've kind of been drawing in all kinds of different events and ideas that happen there, but I think that kind of unifies some of that for those mm-hmm. of you at this point are still wondering what it is or what goes on there.
Hospitality has been from the beginning a central thing at Green Fire.
One of the things also that we really feel important is that we're not a center for therapy, that we are a place where people's gifts and insights are affirmed, and where their ability to choose their own path is assumed, so that it's a place for women who want to explore but don't want to give themselves away.
Right. So we offer, as Bella read, dinners, candlelit dinners together, community-style dinners for guests. And otherwise, for breakfast and lunch, food is available. People fix their own food when they want, as they want. And we aren't a program-centered place. We do have these special weekends and programs occasionally, but essentially we're a place for silence and rest, interspersed occasionally by workshops. So the offerings that are on a regular basis that aren't programmatic but are there for local women are Wednesday evenings, every Wednesday evening at 5:30. People who are interested gather for half an hour or so of meditation, followed by conversation in the circle, and then a potluck supper. Some don't stay for the potluck, but that's something that goes on every week. And then occasionally, once a month, a special focus on a Wednesday night, like the Earth Day vigil being the Wednesday before Earth Day.
And then on Sunday, we have two different events that are open to community women or people who can get there by commuting. One is a Sunday morning interfaith worship that is led by one of the only members of our community who is not ordained, in fact, and offers a lot of silence and time for reflection together on interesting texts. And then in the afternoon on Sundays at 4 o'clock, we have an hour's silent vigil where we sit in solidarity with the suffering of the world. So those events are all open to people who come in just for them. And
nice. Or to guests who are staying.
Or to guests who are staying.
Nice. So as far as the, can I call it mentoring that you women do for others? Is this happening on a kind of free-floating basis for those who come to the retreats, or is there a structured time that they meet with you, and how does that work?
Usually people need to book it in advance, because even people who think maybe they don't want that often get there and say maybe they do want it after all. So so usually people would say they want to come, say, for a night or two, and they want a conversation. Or they've heard about these work vision consultations that we described, and they want to come and try and find a time, and those really need to be booked in advance because there are three of us present for one of those.
And then very often a woman who comes for conversation will return on a regular basis for for ongoing connection with her story.
Which you all retain beautifully. This career, life coaching kind of thing that goes
work
on.
Work vision consult.
Work vision consult. this seems like it would be a really useful thing. How does that, can you speak a little more about that?
I think it's interesting how it came into being. Was it not, Connie, that one of your colleagues came and said that she really enjoyed her job, but that she felt that it was disconnected from her deeper self?
Yes, that did happen. But before that happened, we did that sort of exploration with each other in looking at our own work and how we could bring it together. And in that process, decided that was such a valuable thing to do with each other that it might be valuable to other women to be able to explore ways to bring their lives into a more unified activity between their work and their rest of their lives. So we did start with people, professional women that we knew, to come in and see whether it was helpful to them, and in exchange for their reflections back to us. So while we were still in the Boston area, we worked with about 7 or 8 women and began to develop the notion that it would work for pretty much any woman.
Yes, you don't have to be a professional woman to get...
We even had some groups want to come in and look at issues together around their meaning, their purpose, their direction, and use this format of 3 2-hour sessions with a circle of us, 3 of us at least.
And couples,
right? And we have had men in the community come and do that work too. And occasionally my husband or somebody else has sat in if that would make it more comfortable.
When we do work with couples, one member of the couple would be silent while, say, his wife were speaking or partner. And then in the next session, he or she would speak and the other partner would be silent. And so what you would hear potentially is things said in an intimate kind of setting that you might not otherwise notice because of the patterns that you get into in talking with each other, that you get to hear your mate or partner or working companion or whoever, friend, speak, and you're just listening and you don't have any input. You'll hear her or him in a totally different way.
And you know that technique is used in counseling a lot. I would imagine it would be a very different experience with you women, mostly because of how I'm feeling just sitting with you in the studio today. I don't think I've ever felt this grounded with guests in the studio before. So there's a real sense of calmness and groundedness that I'm feeling just speaking with you for a short period of time that I imagine would be tremendously helpful for people to get in touch with that core essence of their being in that way, rather than to be sitting in a therapist's office knowing they have 45 minutes or 50 minutes and this person is detached from them. I don't at all feel, though, that any of you are detached from me. I feel like we're this web kind of sitting at this table.
And indeed, I worked for 10 years as a psychotherapist and did a lot of couples counseling. And it is quite different.
It's very different.
Yeah, more, I mean, less theoretically, I guess, to me than just the feeling of it. It just feels very different to me.
Well, it's looking for the life and the core energy and the of the person as opposed to a pathology, for one thing.
Right, right.
I mean, we're seeking to draw out from one another, as women have always done, to draw out from one another our life energy and our...
Creativity.
Nice. So, did we want to get back into the Enneagram a little bit? as far as how this can help people relate better to one another, or how, you know, just any thoughts that you have on that. I find with the Enneagram, as opposed to, again, as astrology or even psychology, that there is so much less judgment in me. Mm-hmm. If I know, and being a one, you know that's a big thing, right? Because judgment is one of our right. issues to get beyond. But I find that this system creates a lot more acceptance in me somehow, less judgment in me about behaviors that people have going on. Now, why do you think that is?
We certainly have feedback from people who have explored the Enneagram in their lives that it has really helped relationships. So much of the energy that we feel around us tends to want people to come to one mind and to have one truth. And this system really loosens that up, helps you to see that that's false. That drive to be alike, as though that meant that we were closer to the truth. In fact, we discover we're closer to the truth when we let difference be true.
Mm. I was thinking, too, that maybe a personal example of sort of the transformative process might help a bit, in that in the wisdom of the Enneagram, you see who you are, okay? We said, this is my pattern, this is my box, this is what I've overdone, this is my compulsion. And in my case of the five, it would be this withdrawal into the head energy, which would lead to a disconnection from my body and from people. It's a restricted, kind of pulled away kind of energy, pulled way back to be an observer. So I learned this. I find myself there on the Enneagram. Now, what do I do about that? What's the transformative process? And in the wisdom of the Enneagram, it is not that I try to overcome that. It's that if I try harder, I will only dig myself in deeper.
Right.
That the transformative thing is to, through this tool, to begin to observe myself. Say, oh, I'm doing it now. My energy's constricting. I'm thinking about getting out of here. You know, I'm counting the time. I'm pulling back. I'm doing it now. And I've learned through this what that means in my life, what the repercussions of that, of living with that kind of energy have been. And I want to be free from it.
And the caution is that basically what you're doing is just noticing it, not doing anything about it.
I'm not doing anything. And in the noticing, and you sort of stretch that time, first maybe I say, boy, I was doing that yesterday, and then maybe I say, I was doing that an hour ago. And then more and more it's, I'm doing it now, and kind of breathing deeper and letting go. And that's the way we work with it in our workshops, is that it's a tool that's liberating in that way, that just seeing it is the beginning of freedom.
Yeah, isn't that the path of consciousness?
It is.
Making it conscious, thereby transforming it.
Instead of becoming better people.
Yeah. Yeah. God knows, if a one could have done that, that's what we would have done.
That's right.
Yeah. And, you've mentioned astrology and other kinds of tools, and it really is just another tool.
Oh, totally.
It's just another
tool. It doesn't
invalidate
anything.
It doesn't invalidate any other, and they have different offer. I mean, all of these tools, the Myers-Briggs, all of these different systems are great tools
that
for
we
certain things.
About the Enneagram is that there's always another layer. It's not like you get finished with it.
Right.
It keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper.
That's what I like about astrology, frankly,
mm-hmm.
because you can
right.
keep on looking at it from different
right.
perspectives.
Right. Right.
But
mm-hmm.
this tool, I think, is much more approachable to someone who didn't want to get into all of that analytical.
Right. So complicated in the astrology
part
system.
Of it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This is once you found your number, and that's
yep.
where you need some
yep.
help. But once you have, there's so many resources for growth mm-hmm. in this system.
And I think in terms of relationships, it enables you to kind of take a step backward in so that where formerly somebody might have spoken to me in a particular fashion and I would have felt hurt or misunderstood, now I understand where they're coming from if I know their number.
Yeah, that's their nine-ness or that's their three-ness
yes.
or whatever. Yeah, I find it's really allowed me to loosen up a lot around my partner because mm-hmm. instead of saying, what's wrong with him? He's not communicating the way my girlfriend's communicator, you know, the way I'm used to liking to be communicated with. That's his nineness. Oh, now I understand that. So we come into relating in a different way. Right. It's been really helpful.
It's been helpful to our kids, tremendously helpful to our children. I think you have to be into your 20s at least before it's too easy to find your number.
Well, so it is said, right, before the patterns really
are clear
emerge.
Enough.
Yeah.
And before one may be ready to look at these things. But my children who are in there, I guess they're all in their 30s now, have found it a tremendous tool.
Hmm. Nice. So we have about, I don't know, 4 minutes left. Is there anything that we've left out? Anything that you want to say in closing, any of you? About your organization, about what you bring to the world, about how you would invite listeners to approach what you present.
I'll say that we appreciate being here. It was a little scary to come and do this, but we appreciate being here because people often say we're one of the best-kept secrets in Maine. We've not been great on the whole PR front.
First I heard of you was through a friend
of
mine.
Through a friend, right. Yep. It has been word of mouth from the very beginning. But people, you know, and first we came from the Boston area, so it took a while to really make a network in Maine. But now that is really happening, and we are trying to really help people know what's going on at Green Fire and get our offerings out. So thank you for having us.
Oh, it's been a complete pleasure.
We don't mean to hide.
No, none of us do.
Yeah, so we have some new women on our board that are encouraging us to do more and more things out there in the public. We'll be present at the Common Ground Fair was one of the things that's been set up for us. So all these unusual things that we're trying now are prompted from new members of our organization.
And one of the things I love about Green Fire is that when we have guests come, we often have no idea who they are. And then sometimes this one and that one and the other will arrive and we'll say to ourselves, oh, how's this going to work? How are these people going to get on together? And then before the end of their stay, they're exchanging emails and addresses and an enormous amount of work that we know nothing about goes on down in what we call the great room, or the room where we have our services and programs and where guests sit and relax, because they connect with one another and begin to listen to one another and help one another. And it's astonishing how women from very different backgrounds connect.
And, you know, that's something we've noticed from the beginning, that people who would never otherwise know each other find themselves connecting at Green Fire, which is really lovely to watch.
Well, the great thing I like about it, the logo is a circle. The Enneagram is made up of circles. We're no connecting the dots or connecting the lines. It's very, very feminine, very circular, very much something that you all might want to check out. Again, Green Fire is available. Information on Green Fire is available by calling 372-6442 in the state of Maine, 207. Website access for information, www.greenfireretreat.org, or email these lovely women at greenfir, G-R-E-E-N-F-I-R, at midcoast.com. Again, these people in the studio today, women in the studio today, have been Judith Carpenter, Connie Chandler Ward, and Allison Cheek. This is Bella Johnson for Alternative Currents, wishing you all a wonderful boost into spring. And talk to you next month, first Friday of the month, 10 a.m. Take care. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.